Oh, beloved Sadhguru, come and meet me. My soul is longing. This is the Bhajan Ji Sadhguru Pyare Milo Menu on page 174. I don't realize your doing, but you have united me with God. I am full of bad qualities. I have no good qualities. But you yourself took pity on me. When you took pity on me, grace was showered, and I met the beloved Satguru. Nanak says, I will live only if I get Naam, and my body and mind will blossom. Oh, beloved Satguru, come and meet me. My soul is longing. Bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev, on page 174.
Ji Satguru Pyare A Mihilo Mehenu Tarasarehi Janahe Meheri Tarasarehi Janahe Meheri Jitera Kita Jato Me Nahi Jitera Kita Jato Me Satguru Pyare Milo Menu Ji Satguru Pyare Milo Menu Tarasarehi Jana Jana he meri ji niraguna hare koi meguna nahi ji niraguna hare koi meguna nahi Tarasate oi Jiyate Tarasate oi Ji Satguru Pyare Milo Satguru Pyare Milo Mehenu Tarasarehi Janahe Meri Tarasarehi Janahe Tarasapaya meira mata oi Jitarasapaya meira mata oi Jisataguru sajana meira Sat Guru Sajnamili. Ji Sat Guru Pyare Amilumenu. Ji Sat Guru Pyare Nama miletami jiva jinanakanama miletami jiva jitana mana tive jiha Jitana mana tive jiharya. Ji sat guru pyare amilumenu. Ji sat guru pyare
Beloved Satguru, come and meet me. My soul is longing. We are continuing reading of morning talks. We have reached morning talk number 21, which is the first one after the halfway point, and in my opinion is the pivot on which all of the talks are hinged. What the principles are of bhakti or devotion. And Master Kripal says, this talk was given on November 18th, 1967. I was just speaking about devotion, real bhakti. The first principle, the basic principle, and I would say the grandest of all, is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, and He is in us. We live and have our being in Him like fish in the river. The fish lives in the water. Its whole life depends on water. It lives in water. It lives on water from whence it gets its food. When God wished, I am one and wish to be many, the whole universe emanated, came into being. The whole world is an expression, a manifestation of God. Where is that place where He is not? We are in Him. He is in us and is our controlling power. All ensouled bodies are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. When we know this, all is beautiful. God is beautiful. And any world made by Him, manifested by Him, is also beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty, not from ugliness. Anything that appears to be ugly in the world is the result of the spectacles that we are wearing. If the glass of the spectacles is smoky, you will see all smoke. If it is red, everything will appear red. If it is black, everything will appear black. Well, the world is not black, red, or smoky, mind that. So we have to change the trend of our mind, of our heart. The first principle that we have to abide by is to know that He is everywhere. We are in Him and He is in us. When you know this, you will just pay respect to everybody. They are all manifested in the man body. When we know that He is everywhere and that He knows everything of our heart, how can we do anything that is not good or commit a sin? Our Master used to say, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you will never dare to do anything which is wrong. When you have the viewpoint that He is within me, He is outside me, I am in Him, how can you perpetrate anything? Can you? This is the sum and substance, the basic principle. If you abide by it, everything will follow of itself. The world will be beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty. If the world appears to be ugly or not beautiful, that is the result of the spectacles that you are wearing. If you will cast out evil thoughts about others, all are friendly. If somebody has played any hell against us, we simply retaliate. We harbor those very thoughts within us. Saints have been coming to the world, and the people have been meeting them very disrespectfully. Sometimes they put them on the cross. Sometimes they burn them alive. They took the skin off the body of one saint. The people cry, "Oh God, send us some man to save us." God said, "Well, I have sent you many men to save you, but how have you treated them? They came to give you a right understanding of the whole show, which is that all creation is the manifestation of God, that you are all my children, drops of the ocean of all consciousness, that I am your controlling power. You live in me and I live in you, but you have forgotten." To forget is delusion, or what is called Maya. If you go to somebody whose eye is open, even if you speak ill of him, he still tries to bring you out of the abyss of ignorance. If he gives you something, you should develop it. When you see inside, your whole angle of vision will be changed. Even outside, you will see that it is all the manifestation of God. It is so. And when we meet a master, we begin to see that it is all his manifestation. So the first principle of devotion or bhakti is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in him, and he is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally right thoughts will follow. With right thoughts, there will be right speech, and with right speech, you will have right action. So always pray to God, "Oh God, let us come into contact with somebody who is out of this ignorance and who sees that this whole world is the manifestation of Thee." But how many are there like that? They are very rare, very few. God has been sending these persons of right understanding to give you right understanding. And how have they been treated? God said, "I have sent men to you who have said that they were God, but you have not respected them. I have also sent you those who have said that I am a man like you. It is all God's grace." What do you then say? You say that if he is a man like us, then how can he take us out? These are the aspects of how God sends us men of right understanding and how we treat them. The main principle is to know that God is everywhere. It is a fact, and we have to develop to open that eye to see that it is so. That eye is opened only when you meet with somebody who opens it within you. It is called the third eye, or the single eye. You will begin to see that it is all the manifestation of God. There is no evil in the world. If it appears to be evil, it is due to the smoky or colored glasses that you are wearing on your heart or mind. You will find that if you think in the way that I have just told you, then naturally you will have respect and love for all, even for your enemies. They might think otherwise of you, but if you have thrashed out every evil thought within you for everybody, you will see with that angle of vision which the Master gives you that it is all the manifestation of God. Then naturally everybody will be beautiful. You will see this beauty even in your enemy. A perverted view is only on account of smoky glasses. Whatever comes into our lives, sometimes good, sometimes not to our taste, is all due as a reaction of our past karma. What you have sown, you will have to reap. It is no fault of God, it is our own fault. What we have sown, we must reap. If you sow one pepper seed, it will grow into a plant that will give hundreds of peppers. If you sow one mango seed, a tree will grow that will give you hundreds of mangoes. So if you cast out all evil from your mind by having the right understanding, then all will be beautiful. Whatever else comes, either it is a reaction of our past or it comes from above. We should meet all that happens to us with an open mind, happily. Sometimes it so happens that something comes in our way which we think not good, but that very thing which appears before us is a remedy to set us right, so that we may have something higher. Man learns swimming in water, not on dry land. When you develop that angle of vision, you will have opened your eye to see things in the proper light. You will see that everything is the manifestation of God. Then you will be strengthened. This principle which has been placed before you is a fact. It is not man-made. I gave one or two illustrations from the life of Guru Nanak. Once when he was weighing out some wheat or corn, he was so absorbed in God that he saw him everywhere. So when you think that I am not the doer, you become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan. How can you say that it is you who are doing this or that? You should say that he is doing it, not you. You are a mere puppet in his hands. When you have that angle of vision, you will, like Guru Nanak, say, I am thine. It is thou, not I. You will be so much engrossed and absorbed that you will forget yourself. So Guru Nanak was weighing out wheat. When he came to the word Tera, meaning both 13 and thine, he became intoxicated and began repeating, I am thine, I am thine. The 10th guru, when talking about God, said, the whole world is yours. All rivers and mountains are yours. It is you who are manifesting in all of them. He was so much absorbed that he was in a state of intoxication for hours at a time. So this is the basic principle, to know that God is everywhere. We are in him and he is in us. We are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. This is the right understanding. When you get that, you will have right thoughts. Right thoughts will give you right speech, and right speech will give you right action. It is all God's manifestation. He is the very life of our lives. On this basic ground, the very superstructure of bhakti is raised. When a child of 5 is sitting by us, we do not dare to do anything wrong. If we know that God is watching our every action, our very trend of thought, how can we do anything wrong? So today's subject is what the principles are of bhakti or devotion. First and foremost, it is to know that God is everywhere, to know that it is all his manifestation. He is the controlling power, and we are a drop of the ocean of him. We are living and having our being in him. All other principles follow of themselves. If anything comes that is not according to our taste, that is a reaction of what we have done in the past. That is due to the smoky or colored glasses that we are wearing. The truth remains that it is all the manifestation of God. If through some master's grace, the God in him, right understanding comes to you, you will see that it is so. The whole world is in the ignorance of illusion or Maya. You have to rise above body consciousness to open your inner eye and see for yourself. For that purpose, you have been given some capital to start with. If you live by these principles, you will reap the full fruit of your bhakti. You will see God within you. All our penances and right living ultimately results in what? To know God. Remain where you are. You are not to change your outer forms and rituals or symbols of whatever school of thought you belong to, not the least. You have to love God. The whole world is a manifestation of love. We are all brothers and sisters in God. The same controlling power is keeping us in the body. So this is the sum and substance of bhakti, the basic principle of devotion or love. Bhagat, the devotee, rises into Bhagavan, God. If we have got love for God, we will feel joyful in serving others. In this way, you will go into rapture, blissful rapture. Just like a loving mother who washes her child that has become besmeared with filth and then hugs it to her breast, so should we hate the sin but love the sinner. That follows naturally. So the main and basic principle of bhakti is to know that we are in him and he is in us. There is no place where he is not. He is here, within me, outside, everywhere. Only your inner eye, the single or third eye, has not opened as yet. A man whose eye is opened will give you some demonstration of it. If you follow his instructions accurately, you will one day see for yourself. That has always been my favorite morning talk, and it has always seemed to me that if we understand that talk fully and digest it, we will understand everything that we need to know about the path and about what the Master wants from us and who the Master is and the whole point of being here. The way the Master refers to things in that talk, sometimes it runs counterintuitive to the way we tend to think of things. I've often heard devotees say, well, you know, this is Kaal's world, what can be expected from it, things like that. And it's true that the form of the world, to some extent, was created and is controlled by Kaal. But the Master is talking from a point of view that is much deeper than that. The farther we go within, the more it becomes clear that even the outside things are indeed manifestations of God, that his love is there. It's because of that love that the Master comes into the world. It's because of that love that we have met him and come in contact with him and love him. First he loves us, then our love is reciprocal. So this basic point of view that no matter what, it seems that the ultimate of everything is a manifestation of love. This is what is called universalism, and the Master used that word a number of times, especially toward the end of his life. He identified himself as a universalist. And as the great Christian saint, Dame Julian of Norwich, said, you know, in her one of her visions, God said to her that all is well and all will be well and all manner of things shall be well. And sometimes the way, you know, it looks to us, that's hard to swallow. But the fact is that that's the reality. If we remember, if we were able to remember who we really are, and Kripal has defined sin as forgetting of origin, if we remember our origin, who we really are, where we came from, and with his help and his grace we can do that, then this becomes clear to us, and we see very clearly what the Master is saying here. But this theme runs through, you know, all of the Saint Mat literature. I want to read a couple of small things which connect with the morning talk we have just read. The first is the prologue to the Japji. I read Guru Nanak's words first and then Master Kripal's commentary on it, which is sort of another articulation of the same idea. There is one reality, the unmanifest manifested. Ever existent, he is Nam, or name, the conscious spirit, the creator, pervading all, without fear, without enmity, the timeless, the unborn, and the self-existent, complete within itself. Through the favor of his true servant, the Guru, he may be realized. He was when there was nothing. He was before all ages began. He existeth now, O Nanak, and shall exist forevermore. In Kripal's commentary, of course, that in the Punjabi language, that is something that members of the Sikh religion chant every morning, and there is a bhajan, actually, which consists of those words, which sometimes we have sung in Sanchi's presence. The text is given, what we just read, constitutes the mool mantra, or the basic principles as taught by Guru Nanak. God is described as the one supreme being, nirankar, the unmanifest manifested, ekankar, the eternal verity, the conscious spirit, pervading all forms that emanate from him, he upholding the whole creation. He is not apart from his creation, but is immanent in every form. This universe is the abode of the True One, and the True One resides in it. He, being the creator of all, has no equal, and has therefore none to fear or envy. Again, he is above causation, has a sure existence, but not subject to births and deaths. He, the timeless one, existing before time, in time, and beyond time, is the only object of worship and can be reached only through the favor of his holy word in man. And a couple of brief extracts from talks that Master gave. This is a couple of paragraphs from Master Kripal's great talk, The Essence of Religion, which was the presidential address at the 1965 World Religions Conference. All the religions agree that life, light, and love are the three phases of the supreme source of all that exists. These essential attributes of the divinity that is one, though designated differently by the prophets and peoples of the world, are also wrought in the very pattern of every sentient being. It is in this vast ocean of love, light, and life that we live, have our very being, and move about. And yet, strange as it may seem, like the proverbial fish in water, we do not know this truth, and much less practice it in our daily life. And hence the endless fear, helplessness, and misery that we see around us in the world, in spite of all our laudable efforts and sincere strivings to get rid of them. Love is the only touchstone wherewith we can measure our understanding of the twin principles of life and light in us, and how far we have traveled on the path of self-knowledge and God-knowledge. God is love. The soul in man is a spark of that love, and love, again, is the link between God and man on the one hand, and man and God's creation on the other. It is therefore said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Similarly, Guru Gobind Singh says, "Verily I say unto thee, that he whose heart is bubbling over with love, he alone shall find God." Love, in a nutshell, is the fulfillment of the law of life and light. All the prophets, all the religions, and all the scriptures hang on two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Questioned as to our attitude toward our enemies, Christ said, "Love thine enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." With the yardstick of love, the very essence of God's character with us, let us probe our hearts. Is our life an efflorescence of God's love? Are we ready to serve one another with love? Do we keep our hearts open to the healthy influences coming from outside? Are we patient and tolerant toward those who differ from us? Are our minds coextensive with the creation of God and ready to embrace the totality of His being? Do we bleed inwardly at the sight of the downtrodden and the depressed? Do we pray for the sick of suffering humanity? If we do not do any of these things, we are yet far removed from God and from religion, no matter how loud we may be in our talk, and pious in our platitudes, and pompous in our proclamations. With all our inner craving for peace, we have failed and failed hopelessly to serve the cause of God's peace on earth. Ends and means are interlocked and cannot be separated from each other. We cannot have peace as long as we try to achieve it with warlike means and with the weapons of destruction and extinction. With the germs of hatred in our hearts, racial and color bars rankling within us, thoughts of political domination and economic exploitation surging in our bloodstream, we are working for wrecking the social structure which we have so strenuously built, and not for peace, unless it be peace of the grave, but certainly not for a living peace born of mutual love and respect, trust and concord, that may go to ameliorate mankind and transform this earth into a paradise for which we so fervently pray and preach from pulpits and platforms, and yet as we proceed, it recedes away into the distant horizon. Where then lies the remedy? Is the disease past all cure? No, it is not so. Life and light of God are still there to help and guide us in the wilderness. We see this wilderness around us because we are bewildered in the heart of our hearts and do not see things in their proper perspective. This vast outer world is nothing but a reflex of our own little world within us. the seeds of discord and disharmony in the soil of our mind bear fruit in and around us and do so in abundance. We are what we think and see the world with the smoke-colored glasses that we choose to put on. It is a proof positive of one thing only, that we have so far not known the life and light of God, and much less realized God in man. We are off-center in the game of life. We are playing it at the circumference only, and never have a dip in the deepest waters of life in the center. This is why we constantly find ourselves caught in the vortex of the swirling waters on the surface. The life at the circumference of our being is, in fact, not different from the life at the center of our being. The two are, in fact, not unidentical. Yet when one is divorced from the other, they look dissimilar. Hence the strange paradox. The physical life, though a manifestation of God, is full of toil and turmoil, storm and stress, dissipation and disruption. In our enthusiasm and zest for outer life on the plane of the senses, we have strayed too far away from our center. Nay, we have altogether lost sight of it, and worse still, have cut the very moorings of our bark, and no wonder then we find ourselves tossing helplessly on the sea of life. This world, after all, is not and cannot be so bad as we take it to be. It is a manifestation of the life principle of the Creator and is being sustained by His light. His love is at the bottom of all this. The world with its various religions is made for us, and we are to benefit from them. One cannot learn swimming on dry land. All that we have to do is to correctly learn and understand the basic live truths as are embodied in our scriptures and practice them carefully under the guidance of some theocentric saint. These scriptures came into being by God-inspired prophets, and as such, some God-intoxicated person or a God-man can give us a proper interpretation of them, initiate us into their right import by reconciling the seeming discrepancies in thought, and finally help us inwardly on the God path. Without such a practical guidance, both without and within, we are trapped in the magic spell of forms and minds, and cannot possibly reach at the esoteric truths lying under a mass of verbiage of the bygone ages, and now solidified into fossils with the lapse of time, into institutionalized forms, formulae, and formularies of the ruling class. And to conclude, since we are beginning the Christmas season, there is one Christmas message which to me has always seemed like the essence of the morning talk that we read, the Christmas message of 1964. And both this and that morning talk, by the way, can be understood as an elaborate exposition on the term go jolly, because this is why we go jolly. Master has explained all that. We go jolly because this is the true fact, what he has been saying. So I remember this was dated December 3rd, or possibly 1st, same as today, 1964. Dear ones, the whole creation came into being by the word or nam, the God into expression power. The whole creation is the temple of God. There is no place where he is not. In minerals, life is sleeping. In plants, life is dreaming. In birds and animals, life is awakening. And in man, life is awake. As such, we are brothers and sisters of all creatures, of plants, of birds and animals. So the flowers and trees, sparrows and doves, are as members of our own order. How simple, pure, loving, and beautiful they are. We should learn lessons of leading lives of purity, holiness, simplicity, and divine love from them. We should love all, even the sinners and robbers. We should not chop off the whole tree, but give it a chance to grow again. We breathe the same air, we drink the same water, we bask in the same sun, and live on the same Mother Earth. Day and night are two servants who are bringing us up. Man is the highest in all creation. Those who love God should love all of them. He is immanent in every form. There are sermons in stones and books in rivulets. We should live in fellowship with all creatures, with all life. Creation is one family in God. All rishis and saints had the vision of cosmic unity and loved Dame Nature. The whole creation is the house of God, and he resideth in it. Nanak, the rishi sang Ishivasyam Idam Servam. All that is a vesture of the Lord. Nature is beautiful except when tormented by the hand of man. Man is a social being and has to live in some society. Numbers are no index to wisdom, and yet holy places of worship are crowded with them. We need that these should be the purest and wisest men of life. The society should live by the law of love and be ruled by guardians of the moral law and live a simple, frugal life. I am not after founding a sect, but after gathering holy men of life, of purity, of simplicity, and of loving devotion to God in all and to all in God. It is no good to renounce the world and retire in a forest. It is not necessary to renounce one religion or the other, but to have inner renunciation like St. Francis and other saints who renounced everything at heart, but were Christ-possessed or God-possessed. With these words, I send you one and all my best wishes on this Christmas day to mold our lives accordingly. Kripal Singh.
ਸੋਨਾ ਕਾਈ ਨਾ ਗਲੇ ਲੋਹਾ ਘੁਣ ਨਾ ਖਾਏ ਬੁਰਾ ਭਲਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਰਕ ਕਦੇ ਨਰਕ ਨਾ ਜਾਏ
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਐਸ ਦ ਗੋਲਡ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਬੀ ਈਟਨ ਅਪ ਬਾਈ ਦ ਰਸਟ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਐਂਟਸ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਈਟ ਅਪ ਦ ਆਇਰਨ ਇਨ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਨੋ ਮੈਟਰ ਇਫ ਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਬੈਡ ਔਰ ਗੁੱਡ ਬਟ ਐਟ ਲੀਸਟ ਇਫ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਨੈਵਰ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਹੈਲ
ਸੋ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹ ਬਹੁਤ ਵੱਡੇ ਵੱਡੇ ਭਾਗਾਂ ਵਾਲੇ ਆ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਲਯੁਗ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਦੇ ਆ ਔਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਪਣਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਲਾਈ ਬੈਠੇ ਆ
ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਯਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਮੋਸਟ ਫੋਰਚੂਨੇਟ ਵਨਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਆਇਰਨ ਏਜ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਗਾਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਗਾਟ ਦ ਨਾਮ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ attached themselves with the master and those who are doing the devotion of naam and master wholeheartedly they are the most fortunate ones
ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਸੇਵਨ ਸੇਵੜ ਪਾਗੀ ਆਨੰਦ ਨੇ ਸਾਚੇ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਲਾਗੀ ਸਦਾ ਸੁਖ ਦਾਤਾ ਰਵਿਆ ਕਟ ਅੰਤਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸਚੈ
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਜੋ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਆ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰਨ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਕਨੈਕਟਡ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਸੇਵਾ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਓਬੇ ਦ ਕਮਾਂਡਮੈਂਟਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਦੈਮ ਪੀਸ ਕਮਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ
ਸਦਾ ਸੁਖ ਦਾਤਾ ਰਵਿਆ ਕਟ ਅੰਤਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸਚੈ ਕਰੀ ਤਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਮਿਲਾਈ ਹਰ ਕਾ ਨਾਮ
ਹੁਣ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਮਿਲਣਾ ਕੀ ਔਖਾ ਹੈ, ਜਦੋਂ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੜੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੈ, ਜਦੋਂ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
ਪੀਪਲ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਇਸ difficult in getting the masters. There are so many masters in this world, and whenever we want we can go to them and get initiation from them.
Lekin santan di bani jehdi hai oh ik tuk de vich parshan kardi hai, dusri de vich jawab de dindi hai, lekin ohde vich shak nu gujais nahi.
Even though in the banis or the writings of the masters, in one line they ask the question or they put the question, and in the second line they themselves reply the question, and there is no room for the doubt in the bani of the masters.
aapne upar kya siga ohi vadde bhagan wale hai jo guru de ditte hoye naam di kamai karde hai aur seva de vich lagge hai.
In the above lines he said that only they are the most fortunate ones, those who do the seva of the master and those who get the naam from the master.
hun aap kehnde hai ki guru nu milna sade apne vas de vich nahi ga, eh sab kuch parmatma ne apne hath vich rakhya hoya hai ki kis nu guru milauna hai, kis nu aje hor 84 de chakkar de vich le jana hai.
And now he says that it is not in the hands of we people to go to the master. It is all God has kept everything in his hands. Only God is the one who decides that whom he has to bring to the master and whom he has to send in the cycle of 84 lakhs births and deaths.
Parmatma nazar karda hai, meher karda hai, ta sada milap guru na hunda hai. Aap kehnde guru deya meher karda hai, ta sadi surat nu us naam shabad de naal jodda hai.
When God showers grace on us, when he becomes merciful on us, only then he brings us in the company of the master. And when master is merciful and when he showers his grace on us, only then he connects us with the shabad naam.
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਇਆ ਨਾ ਕਰੇ, ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਭਵੇਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਘਰੇ ਚੱਲ ਕੇ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਆ ਜਾਣ, ਉਹ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪੈਦਾ ਵੀ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਣ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਤਬਾਰ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਏਗਾ, ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਹੇਕਾਰ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਵਾਂਗੇ.
ਇਫ ਗੋਡ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਸ਼ਾਵਰ ਹਿਸ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਔਨ ਅਸ, ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਲੀਵ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ, ਨੋ ਮੈਟਰ ਇਫ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਬੋਰਨ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਔਰ ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਦੇ ਕਮ ਐਂਡ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਲਿਵਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਨੇਬਰਹੁੱਡ, ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਨੈਵਰ ਹੈਵ ਫੇਥ ਇਨ ਦੈਮ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਨੈਵਰ ਬੀ ਏਬਲ ਟੂ ਓਬੇ ਦੇਅਰ ਕਮਾਂਡਮੈਂਟਸ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਭਾਗਹੀਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾ ਮਿਲੇ ਨਿਕਟ ਬੈਠਿਆ ਨਿਤ ਪਾਸ.
Guru Nanak Sahib says that the unfortunate ones do not get the master even if they are sitting right next to him all the times.
Nanak Satguru tinna milaya jinna turon paya sanjog.
Nanak says that only those who are chosen by God himself meet the masters.
Nazar kare ta guru milai
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਮਿਲਣ ਦੇ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਅੰਦਰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋਣ ਦੇ ਫਾਇਦੇ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਕੀ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਸੁੱਖਾਂ ਦਾ ਦਾਤਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸਭ ਆਨੰਦ ਦਾ ਉਹ ਮਾਲਕ ਹੈ.
Now he says the advantages of meeting God and the advantages of manifesting master in the within. He says that when the master is manifested, when we meet God, we get everything because he is the giver of all the happiness.
ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕੋਈ ਰਾਜਾ ਸੁਖੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਪਰਜਾ ਸੁਖੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਧਨ ਕਰਕੇ ਸੁਖੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਔਲਾਦ ਕਰਕੇ ਸੁਖੀ ਨਹੀਂ.
Because we know that neither the king is happy nor the poor people are happy. Those who have the children, they are also not happy, and those who don't have any children, they are also not happy.
ਸਹਿਜੋ ਬਾਈ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਸੁਖ ਵਿਦਿਆ ਕੇ ਪੜੇ, ਨਾ ਸੁਖ ਬਾਦ ਵਿਵਾਦ, ਸਾਧ ਸੁਖੀ ਸਹਿਜੋ ਕਹੇ ਜਿਨ ਲੱਗੀ ਸੁਨ ਸਮਾਧ.
ਸਹਿਜੋ ਬਾਈ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਨੀਦਰ ਦ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਰੀਡਿੰਗ ਨਾਰ ਦ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਆਰਗਿਊਇੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਡਿਬੇਟਿੰਗ. ਸਹਿਜੋ ਬਾਈ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਸਾਧੂਸ ਆਰ ਹੈਪੀ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਦ ਡੀਪ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ.
ਧਨਵਾਨ ਤੇ ਦੁਖੀਆ ਸਭੀ ਨਿਰਧਨ ਦੁਖਾ ਰੂਪ, ਸਾਧ ਸੁਖੀ ਸਹਿਜੋ ਕਹੇ ਜਿਨ ਪਾਇਆ ਭੇਦ ਅਨੂਪ.
All the wealthy people are unhappy and the poor people are the form of unhappiness. Sahaja says that only those saths, those who have got the secret of this incredible thing of God, only they are happy.
ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੋ ਤਨ ਮਨ ਦੁਖੀ ਕੋਈ ਨਿਤ ਉਦਾਸ, ਇੱਕ ਇੱਕ ਦੁੱਖ ਸਭਨ ਕੋ ਸੁਖੀ ਸੰਤ ਕਾ ਦਾਸ.
ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਆਲਸੋ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਸਮਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਅਨਹੈਪੀ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਬਾਡੀ, ਸਮਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਅਨਹੈਪੀ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਈਂਡ. ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵੇ ਐਵਰੀਬਡੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਵਨ ਔਰ ਦੀ ਅਨਦਰ ਅਨਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਔਰ ਪੇਨ. ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਓਨਲੀ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਆਫ ਦ ਸੇਂਟ ਇਜ਼ ਹੈਪੀ.
ਸੁਖ ਹੈ ਤੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ। ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ, ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਨੂੰ ਆਪਣੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰ ਲਿਆ, ਉਹ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ। ਭਾਵੇਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਕੋਲ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਸਾਮਾਨ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ।
ਇਫ ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਐਨੀ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਡੂ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਦੇ ਡੋਨਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਥਿੰਗ, ਸਟਿਲ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਐਟ ਪੀਸ।
ਸ਼ਾਹ ਸਿਕੰਦਰ ਦੇ ਵਕਤ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬਿਆਸਾ ਦੇ ਕਿਨਾਰੇ ਇੱਕ ਸਾਧੂ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ। ਉਸ ਦੀਆਂ ਕਈ ਕਰਾਮਾਤਾਂ ਸ਼ਾਹ ਸਿਕੰਦਰ ਨੇ ਸੁਣੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਸਨ। ਆਖਰ ਇੱਕ ਦਿਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਨੂੰ ਗਿਆ, ਜਾ ਕੇ ਪੁੱਛਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਜੀ ਕੋਈ ਸੇਵਾ ਦੱਸੋ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਤੇਰੀ ਰਿੱਜਤ ਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਆਦਮੀ ਮੇਰੇ ਪਾਸ ਨਾ ਆਵੇ। ਤੋ ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਮੈਂ ਕਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ। ਸੋ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਇਕੱਲੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਸੁਖੀ ਹੈ, ਨਿਰਧਨ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਸੁਖੀ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਜੇ ਧਨ ਪਦਾਰਥ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਸੁਖੀ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੋਏ ਉਹ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਮੈਲਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਿਬੜਦੇ ਗਏ, ਬਲਕਿ ਆਪਣੇ ਪ੍ਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਜੁੜੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ।
There used to live one great sadhu on the bank of river Bryas when Alexander the Great was visiting India, and Alexander the Great heard a lot about that sadhu and he was inspired to go and see him. When he went there, he asked that sadhu, that master, is there anything I can do for you? Is there any seva I can do to you? He replied that, yes, if you can do, do one thing, that don't let anyone from your kingdom come and see me. Alexander the Great replied that, I cannot do that. So the meaning of saying this thing is that if the masters are living alone, then also they are happy. If they have a large following, then also they are happy. Even if they are poor, then also they are happy, because they get the happiness from the devotion of Naam, they get the happiness from their master. That is why they don't care for the happiness of the world.
Sadi man aur atma jade vi.
A closing bhajan is on page 253. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal. O kripal, make me your own. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Oh, Satguru, do not look at my faults. I am filled with many faults. Oh, Satguru, cut my despair. I have borne much desperation and pain. Oh, Satguru, please consider. Everyone calls you the gracious one. The sinner mind is very strong. It makes me sin and takes away my virtues. Day and night it remains involved in the intoxication of lust, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism. O protector, shower grace. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Many great rishis and munis were swayed away in the stream of mind. O Satguru, except you, who will hold the hand of me, a small jiva? O my Satguru, the gracious one on the poor, everyone calls you the gracious one. He himself protects his disciples. From the lowly ones he makes them the highest. Ajayab is in your refuge, O Satguru. May his honor be protected. O Sawan's Kripal, everyone calls you the gracious one. O Kripal, make me your own. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 253.
Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujh sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujh sab kehte. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujh sab kehte kripal, dayal tujh sab kehte. Na dekho mere avguna satguru, avguna mujh mein bahut pare. Kato mere sankat satguru, sankat mene bahut sahe. Na dekho mere avguna satguru, avguna mujh mein bahut pare. Kato mere sankat satguru, guru sangat mene bau sahe
satguru karo kaya dayal tu je sab kehte
sab kehte kirpa dayal tu je sab kehte Mujhe apna bana lo kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte.
Man papi ka jor bada hai. Pap karai sadagun hare kam krodha mad lobha moh me lipat din aur raat rahe man papi ka jor badahe pap karai sadagun hare kam krodha mad lobha moh me lipat din aur raat rahe deya karo rakhval dayal tujhe
sab kehte kirpa dayal tujhe sab kehte Mujhe apna bana lo kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte.
Bade bade rishi muni hue jo, baby man ki darba hai. Mujik chote jeev ki satguru tum bin bahia kon kahe bade bade rishi muni hue jo vedi man ki dar bahe mujik chote jeev ki satguru tum na bahia kon gahe mere sat guru din dayal dayal tujhe
sab kehte kirpa dayal tujhe sab kehte Mujhe apna bana lo kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte.
Apne sevak ki aape rake, nicho hi fir unch kare. Ajaib teri sharana me satguru sharanagat ki pej rahe. Apne sevak ki aape rake, nicho hi fir unch kare. Ajaib teri sharana me satguru sharan gat ki pej rahe sawan ke kirpa dayal tujhe
sab kehte kirpa dayal tujhe sab kehte Mujhe apna bana lo kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte kirpa, dayal tujhe sab kehte.
Oh, Kripal, make me your own. Everyone calls you the gracious one. May God bless us all.